is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
There, if you are watching on NBC Sports Boston, you will notice that I'm not in studio. I am in parts unknown. And you don't need to know where I am. So
I bet it's warmer.
That's that. I'm just not there. But Maz is wiping down, so we'll start with Maz and Murray. Just a general question. You concerned about the Celtics, Maz?
Of course, yes. Again, I told you that one of the questions this year with this team was going to be sort of how it, whether it was the young guys in particular were going to be able to sustain it as the year went along. Now, look, the problems at the moment are bigger than just the young guys when they're giving up basically 125 points a game over the last couple of games. It feels to me like they just, you know, they've shut it down here going into the middle of the season because they need a break, and that's fine. I mean, that's not the part of it I'm worried about. I just don't think that they're as good as that 16-game winning streak, and I think, again, last night they showed you how many points in the paint the Clippers had last night?
It was 129 overall, right?
Yeah, so 56 points in the paint. Now, look, 30 of them were DeAndre Jordan, but he sucks offensively. We all know that. And they're all dunks and tip-ins and lay-ins or whatever else. And how many times did you see him run that pick-and-roll where they lob the ball up in the air and DeAndre Jordan dunks it on either Monroe, Horford, Baines, take your pick. They got absolutely dominated on the interior by a team with another big man. And so, you know, and then you factor in sort of the fading of some of the younger guys, and this is what you get. So I think come the spring, they're going to have problems. Now, when I say problems, I don't mean they're getting bounced in the first round. I'm just saying when they go up against someone good, they are going to have issues, whether that's Toronto, even Washington, I think, is going to give them a hard time. So, you know how I felt. I felt coming into the year that they were a 43-win team. I was wrong. But I also, do you think that they're a 16, you know, a team that should rip off 16 in a row?
No, they're not that. But I'm not going to tell you that they're done or that, you know, I still think they're the team coming out of the East. I still want to say that this is a regular season up and down and not a big picture concern. I mean, again, what do I know? But that's what it feels like. That this is an ebb and flow of the season. And that's what I'm going to stick with until proven otherwise. But I know Murray, it takes him a little less. So, Murray, I'm going to give you the option.
Okay.
Do you want to say it or should I read it? Because it feels like you always come in a little hotter in the morning after you have your cup of coffee there in the morning.
Well, no, I don't know if you were going to put into my words that I think they're going to lose in five right now to Cleveland or something like that.
It's a sweep. Now it's four, right. Obviously.
No, I'm more than concerned because they're garbage right now, and they are. I mean, it's just eyeball test alone. This team sucks right now and has pretty much since they've come back from London. And if you give up 129 points to a team that starts Austin Rivers, who should be in the G League, you got problems. Now, hopefully, they can fix this after the All-Star break. The young guys are concerned. Considering how they're are they the or one of the youngest teams in the league, right? Like, they shouldn't have a dip like this, a prolonged dip like this, when you have that kind of youth on your team, especially as flat as they looked defensively last night. So, defensively, it's not just about Marcus Smart, and Maz pointed it out, too. It's not just the young guys, either. I'm going to have to get the magician wand out, because it's Al Horford is as flat-footed and useless on that end of the floor lately that it's, you know, I wonder if there's an injury there or something lingering because...
You're saying defensively.
Defensively. I mean, he's been useless defensively. Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, no, he disappeared, not going to play any defense at all. And I don't know, like, again, I have a hard time not thinking about the money when you get a night like that from Al Horford. I know offensively it was a decent enough night, but defensively, again, flat-footed, people blowing by him all night long. Like, that's pathetic.
Thank God we have Greg Monroe here. Thank God they used the Gordon Hayward injury exception on Greg Monroe, because he's been fabulous since they signed him.
No, take a victory lap there, too, because he sucks. He's slow and can't play defense and looks washed up.
I'll tell you what, hold on.
All right, go. That's a neat trick by Jimmy to defend Al Horford by ripping on Monroe, who has nothing to do with Al Horford. Explain Al Horford and how he's played, Jimmy. That's what we want to know.
He's been bad.
Thank you. That was easy. Sorry, Maz. Go ahead.
But my Greg Monroe point is so much better, though.
I just think that, look, Monroe, what did he play last night? 9.5 minutes. Okay, he played 9.5 minutes. But watching DeAndre Jordan leapfrog him to dunk is like, to me, is one of those things where you say, if it's possible, Greg Monroe is so unathletic, He makes Al Horford look like freaking Dominique Wilkins is what he does. It is unbelievable how unathletic that guy is. Now, that aside, again, not his fault. He played 9.5 minutes. But DeAndre Jordan, that was one of the worst defensive efforts you'll ever see from a team in the league. Giving up that many freaking alley-oop dunks. It was real, or at least it felt like 100 of them anyway. Bad.
Okay, so you know, so here's a question for the people of Boston. At 617-779-0985. Are the Celtics not as good as you thought? Are they not as good as I thought? Are they not as good? Was it just a team that they got off to a slow start and nobody else did? And, I mean, yeah, they got off to a fast start and nobody else did. And now Cleveland's reset. Toronto's reset. And now as you get closer to the end of the season, the real teams emerge. And you're not a real team. Is that, I mean, I don't believe that, but that's the question. Are they not as good? Murray, are the Celtics not as good as you thought?
No, I don't agree with what you're saying. I think they're as good as I thought that they were.
Okay, very good.
They're as
very
good as good. I thought they were, because I thought they were a cluster of three or four teams.
You're using your Felger word trickery there. You almost tripped me up. No, they're as good as I think that they are. This is just a lull, and it's been an ugly lull. They're what, 6-9 their last 15 games, and it's been pretty pathetic the way that they played.
Well, so, you know, even if you think they're going to bounce back, I am someone who, you know, and Dan Roach doesn't agree with me, but I'm one of these people who I go, silly me, I look at the standings. I look at who wins and who loses, and then I look at where they stand in the league. Like, I don't know, I feel that's why we do what we do. So I do look at the standings, Roachy. And I think you're now three games behind Toronto in the loss column. Home road.
You do Toronto on your own time there, Mike.
I don't know. Game 7 on the road in Toronto. Who do you like?
Believe it or not, I like the Celtics because I think the Raptors are gutless.
So you have no belief in the Raptors, huh?
No, I don't. I just think the Raptors are sackless. I do. Come playoff time, I think that team will show its true colors. But again, I also think that Washington's better than you think. So here's all I'm telling you. Are the Celtics a good team? Sure. Yes, better than last year. No question about it. Are they the clear-cut favorite to come out of the East? I think you're out of your mind when you say that.
I still have them as the favorite.
Okay.
Maybe I would take away clear-cut.
Okay, so I don't think they're the favorite. I look at it and say it could... Now, look, I told you, I don't believe in Toronto. But if the Celtics lost to them, would I be shocked? No. And if they lost to Cleveland, would I be shocked? No. Nor Washington. I think all those four of those teams are pretty close. They're pretty close. And if the Celtics don't get any sort of production out of Tatum and Brown, see, because I think ultimately Horford's going to play better. He did last postseason, right? Like, Horford's a veteran guy. He's been around. He wants a dip in the middle of the season. Take a dip. What do you care? Fine, disappear. It's fine. You pull the magician act. It's okay. But I think come spring, for the most part, Horford will show. Kyrie will show. The other guys, I don't know. I don't know, and I'm worried about them.
Real quick aside before we get to the phones. Am I a bad person for liking to watch DeAndre Jordan play?
No.
For some reason, I'm entertained by the guy. He can't show. Maz, he's had 30 points last night. How many were dunks, as you said? It had to have been like 20 points on dunks.
Totally. Again, so the 56 that they scored, he got 30. Now, 8 of them were from the line. There's no way any of those 22 came from outside the paint. Like that.
Well, from outside the rim?
Right.
Like, I mean, he can't shoot next to... So anemic shooting the basketball, and all he does is dunk. All he does is dunk, rebound, and, you know, block shots and fill up the paint. But offensively, all he can really do is alley-oop. I mean, it's really all alley-oop or off
eight
the
total
break.
Dunks there, Mike. So 16 points off of dunks.
16 points off of dunks! And it feels, you know, like you can't stop him. So is that on the Celtics or is that on him? Either way,
they have Greg Monroe to do that. Oh, wait, he can't do
right,
that.
Oh, right. Never mind that he's the backup and we're talking about Horford, but that's okay. But I'm entertained by a guy who can only dunk. And, boy, when he makes his free throws, I love it. I love when he makes his free throws right up your keister, because the hack of Jordan thing and the hack of Drummond thing and all that stuff is cheesy, low-grade stuff. I know it's legal, and I know, you know, learn how to make your free throws and all that, but whenever I see a team do it, I'm like, you weasels. It's a weasel move, and anyone who does it, I love it. When that guy steps to the line and shoves it right up your tailpipe, which is what DeAndre Jordan did last night. Was he 7 of 8 from the line? Right up your mail chute with your cheesy, bad, rotten little league parent, you know, little cheesy, cheaty little maneuver. Oh, I love it when he hits his free throws. Suck on. How does that taste, Celtics? 7 of 8 from the line, and you lost going away to a guy who can only dunk the basketball. So I love it. Whenever Drummond or Jordan hit their free throws, I love it.
I think it was even worse. I think he was 8 of 9 from the line.
He was.
So look, now, I've always said this. I like the athletic big man. I do, even if he can't shoot. You know, the Nerlens Noel types, the DeAndre Jordan types, the guys who protect the rim and can run the floor.
Well, they're throwbacks. You really don't see all that many guys like that in the league anymore.
I do like those guys.
So do I.
I do. I like that kind of player. And I admit they don't fit the modern game perfectly and all that. But I'll tell you what. Take Aaron Baines out. Put Jordan in. How much better are the Celtics?
Oh, my God.
Huge. Huge difference. For that matter, you can have Monroe, too. Throw the two of them out.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger and Mass.
They're more scared of you than you are of them.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's just two games. A lot of people talk about there's nothing to get too excited about. I don't look at it that way. I don't view things that way. I know basketball. I know talent when I see it. I know when talent is gelling. And I'm saying Cleveland is something to look forward to. I'm of the mindset right now they'll cakewalk through the East. Because when you add 3 25-year-olds and an experienced point guard like George Hill, who's known as being a quality defender against opposing point guards, not to mention somebody capable of hitting three-point shots of his own. When you have that at your disposal, when you have that available to you, you have upgraded exponentially. And if you've done that, how are we to look at the rest of the East? In Boston, they don't have any depth. Toronto with DeRozan and Kyle Lowry, you don't know whether you can trust them. The Washington Wizards got emotional issues. Who's going to stand in the way of the Cavs? The Cavs are going, if they cakewalked last year through the Eastern Conference, why wouldn't they do it this year? Because Kyrie's in Boston, that's all you got. That ain't good enough.
Is it a cakewalk through the East for the Cavaliers?
I don't know about a cakewalk. Sorry, go ahead.
No, you tell me, Maz. Is it a cakewalk through the East?
It's not a cakewalk, but they have every chance to get to the finals that everyone else does. And look, to me, I defer to the best player. So I say if everyone's equal and they got LeBron, I'll take my shot with Cleveland. That's sort of how I feel. And I think that Rodney Hood's going to be a really good compliment to him. But again, it feels to me like he said the same thing I did about Toronto, except he used nicer language because he's on national TV. And I said, I don't know if I can trust DeRozan and Lowry. That's what Stephen A. said. I don't know if I can trust DeRozan and Lowry. Whereas I say, those guys have no sack. They're gutless. They're sackless. That team has no sack. You get them in the spring and they crack. I feel that way about Toronto. And so, you know, then Washington, I mean, I'm in agreement with you on this one. With regard to Washington, that team doesn't feel...
Bullets. Oh,
and no structure, right? There's talent there. But it feels like they don't know how to keep it all together or make it all work, right? Maybe that's a reflection on the coaching. And so the Celtics have the coaching, but do they have the depth of talent? So this is why I'll always land on the lily pad with LeBron.
All right, to the phones. Maz is from our Town Fair Tire Studios in Brighton. I am in parts unknown. And for some reason, I can't cue it up. Jimmy, would you hit line 6, please? Steve in the car joins us and leads us off on the Celtics. Go ahead, Steve.
Hey, gentlemen, long time listener. How we doing?
We're good. What do you got?
Good. Hey, I'm kind of leaning towards agreeing with Stephen A. Smith on that. The instant change on Cleveland. I know it's a small sample size, but the maturity level, the experience, et cetera. And again, like Matt just said, tied up with LeBron. But you go back to the Celtics. I go back to that Detroit game a few months back when they played. Bradley was on Detroit at the time. The high pick and roll, the defense, they shut him down. Teams have been running that on the Celtics. And their offense is Kyrie. Case in point, last night they pitched out to Kyrie. He's on the wing. Three guys surround him. That seems to be almost every trip down. And then they're fighting. They're fighting for a shot. They're one of the worst teams at the rim. I don't know how many times you can have 7-footers, miss 2-foot layups all game long, every game. So I never thought they were 16 as good as a 16 win streak there. And I just want to I'll leave it with the question to Felger is, what do you see in this team that proves me wrong?
Kyrie? I see Kyrie, and I see that when he and Horford are going, they play a great two-man game. And I think that the other teams in the conference are clueless. and I put Toronto and Washington in the same boat. Cleveland gets their act together, they should be favored, but I'm still not convinced they're going to get their act together. It's two games with those new players who hit every shot in the book. So, you know, to me, that's just and I'm not going to come off of that based on a couple of weeks. But my question is defense the biggest concern? Because when I watched them last night, I don't feel like the ball moves like it used to. I don't feel like they're playing that Celtics offense where it's swinging around and everyone's touching the ball. Like, I don't feel like they do that anymore.
No, to me, defense is not the biggest concern. Murray, I don't know how you feel.
No, I think it is defense. I mean, I think you did see some of that ball movement last night. There was one particular play that stood out where Brown was, he hit a corner three where I think it touched about five hands before it got to him. So it was nice to see that. Is it as consistent as it was in the first couple of months of the season? No. But to me, it's the defense. And it's not just Smart. Again, Horford, some of these young guys, like, I mean, you're seeing like a complete lack of effort from Brown and Tatum at times.
Yes, Anthony and Hingham on line three. You're up next, Anthony. What do you got? Stu, if you could do me a favor and cue up line three for me, I would appreciate it. Line three, Anthony and Hingham. Go ahead, Anthony.
Yeah, I think you're just seeing a perfect storm right now. I mean, they played 59 or 60 games. And they got two, you know, a rookie and a second-year player. I just think they're hitting that wall because they're an elite defensive team, I think. But like Matt said, it's going to come down to LeBron. He's basically the big component. And with Monroe, this is who he is. The guy's. I can't believe he's a scorer the way he moves. I mean,
hack.
Yeah,
slow.
And
he's slow.
Andre Jordan, Felger, for you. They didn't call one play for him all game either. That was the best thing about it.
Oh, I don't believe that. I believe they called several plays. I mean, it's a pick and roll that goes to the rim and they throw an alley oop. Like that's. I mean, I don't know if they have to call that or not, but they do that constantly. And you know, on the rookie wall thing. Once the rookie hits the wall, is it over? See you next year. Or is it something that, like, I mean, because I think, and I keep saying both of them, even though I know Brown's in his second year, I still sort of lump them together. But Tatum hits the wall, Brown hits the wall, are they done? Again, see you next year, or do you have any faith that in a month that they'll bounce back?
I have more faith, believe it or not, in Brown being able to endure it than I do Tatum. And I'll tell you what a big thing is for me in it, is that everyone says, well, they've never played this many games before. To me, it's their bodies. Look at Tatum's body. He's still a kid. He just, you know, there's no real thickness to him, no real mass to him. So all of a sudden, you say you play the games. All right, fine. You know, it's a lot of games. But beyond that, it's just he's not built for it yet. He's not there yet. He doesn't have the strength and the endurance yet to do it. To me, that's a big part of it. I feel like Brown is a little bigger, a little stronger. I think there's a better chance of Brown having the legs underneath him. I just think that Tatum's a more skilled player. And in the spring, both those guys are going to have trouble.
On Jaylen Brown, that's at line four. Jim, if you would, Henry in the car is up next with Felger and Maz. Go ahead, Henry. You're on the air.
Hey, guys. So I like you guys, have some worry about the young guys, you know, Tatum and Brown. But a little more worried about Brown. At the beginning of the year, I had all the confidence that he was going to turn into a really good player in this league. And I still think he is. But he started to kind of remind me of, like, a Jeff Green, where he's close to maxed out. You know, he relies on his athleticism too much. And I feel like, you know, I thought he was going to bloom a little more than he has this year. Am I alone on that? I was hoping to get your guys' thoughts.
Okay, Henry, thanks for the call. Maz, thoughts on Jaylen Brown and his development or lack thereof?
So, look, with Brown, he's better than Jeff Green, if you ask me. There's bigger upside there. He's more athletic than Green, even. And then, I think that given where he started as a shooter and where he is now, that's pretty big growth in a year. Because I looked at him initially, and, you know, based on the college numbers and everything else, I thought this guy's not going to be able to shoot, and he's been able to shoot from distance. Now, I think Tatum's better. You know how I feel about that. I think Tatum's the more skilled guy, and there's more room for upside there. What concerns me about Brown is when the pressure increases defensively in the spring. Okay, because again, I think he's going to have the legs. I'm not worried about the legs with Brown. But when the pressure increases defensively in the spring and there's less room to shoot, what's it going to look like? Because he, to me, strikes me as the kind of guy that needs a lot of room to shoot. Tatum needs a little less. And now, if Brown's going to the basket, he's going to be able to draw fouls, but then you say, can he make his free throws? So, like, there are elements in his game that scare me. And of late, last night wasn't as bad, but the game against Cleveland, he fell in love with his jumper. He falls in love with his jumper at times, and I don't think that's his strength, at least not yet.
John in Boston's on line one. Jimmy Stewart, if you could pop him up. John in Boston, you're up next. What do you got, John?
How's it going, boys? I had a question about Pierce's retirement ceremony that they had. I watched the whole thing. I know you guys said some of you only caught some of it, but thoroughly enjoyed it. At one point, Danny kind of looked at Paul, and I'm not sure if he was joking, but he kind of referenced the fact that maybe one day he could take over his job. I'm just kind of wondering how serious you think he was about that and how you think it would play out. Thanks, guys.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that, John. And you know, John, you know, God bless Celtics fans. They've lost three straight, like 8 of 11. They've fallen out of first place. Looks like they may have been, I don't know, a mirage in the first part of the year. Sort of a little crisis point. And the green team wants to call up and go, "Wee, wasn't that a great ceremony on Sunday? Don't you love
fabulous.
It?
Fabulous. I mean,
it's just tremendous. No other fan base in town would you get that sort of reaction.
By the way, Paul Pierce is a consultant for the team. He's under contract to the Celtics, I believe.
Is he really? Well, that makes me feel better, I guess, or not.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Felger. I like anti-compatible.
And Mass.
Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now again, Rondo and Isaiah wrestling a bit, yapping at each other. Watch that if you want to.
Rondo has to be very careful.
Uh-oh, look out. Look out. There it goes again. We're going to get a technical foul. Isaiah's going to pick up the tee. Don't get thrown out, IT. We might get dual technicals.
There obviously is some bad blood.
Look at Rondo. Rondo.
He's kicking them both out.
For whatever reason, he's an upset guy about me. I don't know what it is, but it's fine. Like, I can't control that. He kept bringing the tribute up when I was the one that shut the tribute down. I'm far past that. I'm on the Lakers trying to figure out how to help this team win. For the things that happened today and me to get ejected is uncalled for.
Unbelievable.
So
it's now
great.
Isaiah Thomas and Rajon Rondo on the floor last night, Lakers-Pelicans, end of the first quarter. And Rondo gets up in Isaiah Thomas's face. Isaiah sort of gives it back a little bit. And the next thing you know, they're both ejected. And they're still chirping over the Furkacta video, which Rajon Rondo has absolutely nothing to do with, but has somehow injected himself in this thing. And I get the sense that you guys like it. Murray, go ahead. I know you're chomping at the bit.
Oh, I love it. And I think he does have something to do with it. If for as big of an a-hole that Rondo is, and he is, I do think that there is part of him that is proud of his time with the Celtics and the fact that he, what's the thing he did that Isaiah Thomas didn't do here? Oh, that's right, win a championship. So he loves getting under other players' skin. He always has, ever since he came into the league. And this mouthy little peanut, he sees him for what he is, a mouthy little peanut. And because Isaiah Thomas thinks he's bigger than he is, both figuratively and, you know, from what he is just in terms of his size, he's got the little man's complex. He couldn't not take the bait. Oh, I love this. This is everything that I love about the NBA. I love all this Real Housewives crap. I love that Rondo got under his skin so much that they both got ejected for this. I think it's fantastic.
Well, what exactly did Isaiah do wrong here?
Existed.
Good job, Maz. Good question.
Okay, so I don't think he did anything wrong. Now, look, I didn't agree with him on the video thing either. Rondo's a dink.
Yeah, but terms of sportsmanship, or lack thereof. I mean, he's just trying to get under his skin, which he did. And even if it wasn't this, I would have loved to have heard that that Rondo the whole night was going, you know, if I didn't get my thumb hurt in that series, I would have, you know, we would have beat you. The Bulls would have beat you in that first round last year because, you know, your team kind of sucked, right? Right? Right, IT? You mouthy little peanut.
Let me ask you guys a serious question.
Yeah.
Who is a more important figure in Celtics history, Rajon Rondo or Isaiah Thomas?
Rondo.
Oh, that's a toughie.
Rondo. Rondo.
Both wrong.
Make your case.
I mean,
you would have won that championship without Rajon Rondo. You would have. Sam Cassell was a bigger part of that team at the point guard position than Rajon Rondo.
No, he wasn't.
You would have won that. You would have won. Let me finish. You would have won that championship if Rajon Rondo was not on your team. Period. Story over.
It's not this story over. You might not have.
Oh, you.
Sam Cassell
was
such a non-factor on that team, Mike. It's embarrassing.
Oh, that's embarrassing,
You're
Jimmy.
Embarrassing.
You obviously don't remember. How old were you? Were you even old enough to remember then?
Yeah, I was covering the team on site.
Yeah,
Sam Cassell was a bigger... were telling you not to have a hateful opinion working at Comcast.
Sam Cassell was a bigger part of that team than Rajon Rondo, and if you don't admit that, then you just don't know what you were watching, or you have some sort of agenda. He was a bigger part of that team at that time. Without Isaiah Thomas, you're not in your current rebuild, because Isaiah helped make this a destination. Rajon Rondo hung on to three or four other guys, and when it became his team or the time became his team, they couldn't wait to get rid of him because he's the biggest a-hole in the league. And so I mean, if you want to talk, you want to stack up Isaiah Thomas versus Rajon Rondo, you could have Rondo all day long. What? He is one of the worst guys in this league, and you know it.
I feel like that's revisionist history, because during that time, and especially that season, he was like the floor general. Yeah, and Cassell was important, as was Leon
the
Poe.
Championship year?
Yeah,
that's why they went and got Sam. Wait, he was so important they went and got Sam Cassell.
Throughout the season, yes, he was important.
Oh, God.
To say that Rondo was
was such a crucial piece, they went out and traded for a veteran point guard.
Yeah, I like Sam Cassell's average of 10 minutes per postseason game.
Oh, my God. Who played at the end of those games?
I can check the box score, but I think his name is Rajon Rondo.
See, I think Rondo played more than you remember, Mike. But that aside, like, honestly,
Cassell finished those games. Cassell was on the floor at the end of those games.
I'm telling you, as far as I'm concerned, you can erase both of them from Celtic history. I just liked Isaiah better. Like, that's the way I look at it. I say, at least I liked Isaiah. I never liked Rondo. Never. There was there one little glimmer when he had that 40-point game in Miami in the playoffs. I went, whoa. Like, if he's going to start making shots, everything changes. And that was it. But other than that, I liked Isaiah so much better than Rondo, it isn't even funny.
Because he's a more likable guy.
Totally.
I mean,
he's a fraud. Look, Rondo's a little dink, but IT ultimately is a fraud. He's the mouthy little peanut. I should start making the t-shirts.
I don't even have a problem with Rondo trash-talking last night. Like, putting your chest in his face and like, well, I'm going to fight you.
Oh,
shut up.
So great.
Oh, you
for
dink,
a guy that always says,
dink.
I'm looking at the scoreboard, what's it at the end of the day? He's got the ring. The little guy doesn't.
Who did nothing for it? Who was a zero factor on that team? They win that thing without Rajon Rondo, for God's sakes. And so...
But the 10 minutes of Sam Cassell, that was the difference in them winning and losing.
It was just one
talk
point
about
on Rajon
agendas.
Rondo, that's
all. You hate
all.
Rondo. Just admit you hate Rondo.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, what's to like? Everyone hates him.
I like
him.
Yeah,
put me on the list.
Player.
Everyone hates him. Everyone hates Rajon Rondo because he's an asshat. He's one of the worst guys in that league. I mean, that's not a me thing. That's a human thing. Are you a human being? Then you probably hate Rondo, because Rondo's a dink. And everyone knows it. Everyone hates him. He's been on five teams in the last 2 years, because no one can stand the sight of the guy. So you're going to take the side of... Boy, that's rich, man. You're going to take the side of Rajon Rondo. Your agenda is so dripping that you will take the side of the worst guy in the league just to prove the point that Isaiah Thomas wasn't that good. We all know he wasn't that good.
Second worst, maybe. Cousins is worse. Maybe the second worst.
Oh, my God. Rajon Rondo. Who does he think he is?
A guy who's actually won a ring and accomplished something in the league.
Yeah,
and
I like, you know,
IT.
Jimmy. A guy who actually won a ring. So, you know, Scal won a ring, too. I mean, we're talking about every guy who's on the bench of that team.
More important in Celtics history is Scal than IT.
Oh, come on, Murray.
Yeah, no. He's still here. He's still basically a cheerleader for the team broadcaster.
You guys have lost all. You've lost credibility.
Now I'm buying a jersey. That's what I'm going to do. I'm buying a Rondo jersey tonight. Jimmy, I'll spot you one. I'll get
Rondo.
Tell me your size.
Rondo's a pud. He is. He's a pud. I saw that and went, what a dink. He was at the Paul Pierce thing on Sunday, and, you know, they were all dumping all over Isaiah, and so Rondo showed up and says, hey, you know, I'm going to do it for my buddy P. Here we go. And he got in his face and started bumping him with his chest like the tool bag he is.
If you don't see if you just can't appreciate that from the sheer comedy aspect, I don't know. Like, you guys, you take it too seriously, because I thought that was awesome.
Oh, no. Night. Murray. I appreciated the comedy aspect of it entirely. I just think Rondo's a dink. ultimately, if I'm picking a side, I'm picking Isaiah's.
All the people. I mean, again, it's one thing for Pierce or Garnett or one of these guys to call out Isaiah Thomas. Rajon Rondo?
Sam Cassell was so good that year, he was losing minutes to Eddie House.
So both those guys were more important than Rondo. Put Eddie House on the list. Rajon Rondo was a total side piece on that team when it came to the end. I mean, if they were so happy with Rondo, why'd they trade for Cassell in the first place? Because they knew they needed a veteran guy there because Rondo wasn't ready. Oh, God, please, Rajon Rondo. To me, the biggest crime is that the NBA is in a place where they both get thrown out. Like, wouldn't it have been so much better to let them go at each other all night?
Oh, totally. Yeah, that I didn't like.
Like, I mean, that's a joke. That was the first quarter, right? And Isaiah's coming off the bench. And, oh, by the way, the Lakers are 0-2 since he got there. But it would have been so much better if they let them go back and forth, go mano-a-mano the whole night long. Like, what? Instead, they get thrown out. Like, that's the worst part of that league now. They don't let any back and forth go.
I still don't know what Isaiah did. What did he do? Rondo was bumping him. Like, that part to me warranted a what did Isaiah do other than talk back to him?
No, it's like the Aqib Talib Michael Crabtree thing. Michael Crabtree exists, so Aqib Talib is going to bust his balls. That's all. There's no, like, deeper meaning behind it.
Rondo's a pud. He's a pud. He is. He's a pud.
But he's right here.
He's not right. He is not. He's a P-U-D pud.
Where's your video? What did you ever accomplish? What did you do? By the way, again, if I didn't hurt my thumb in that series, that first round series, the Bulls, we would have beat you. You know that little...
Yeah, and what I would say, to if I were Isaiah, I'd say, yeah, you know, instead of tapping out with a little thumb injury, I kept playing with a hip and we won. So what are you talking about with your sidecar championship? And now you've been on, you know, well, I guess they've both been on five teams in 2 years. That's sort of adding up as well. I mean, I guess they deserve each other. But Rajon Rondo, of all people, would you stop? I mean, why didn't he keep playing last year? He couldn't play through that thumb? Oh, wah, poor little Rajon with your thumb. That guy's a loser.
We're going to have to start calling him Rajon Ronda.
Good God. All right, you can weigh in, folks. Long commercial-free segment is next.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Kyrie, little step back. Tough shot on Tillett. Okay, those are just no good. The rebound for DeAndre Jordan, and Kyrie is having a rough start. 1-for-5. Lou Williams, right-hand dribble, blows right by Kyrie. Handoff, Jordan, two-hand slam. Some teams don't want the break to come. Some teams desperately need the All-Star break. The Celtics are one of them.
Quickly, as far as with the Celtics slumping, I think it's safe to say that Marcus Smart is a key factor. As much as he's poorly of a shooter, he's a heck of a defender. But last night, Felger, and you've been sticking with the story, so I give you credit. Rajon Rondo, I'm on his side. He's looking at it like this. Listen, you snotty-nosed kid, Isaiah. You crying and complaining about, what, a few minutes that you played in Boston? I've been here, done that. I've got a stamp put to my name. I've been here.
Okay, we lost you. Rondo carries himself like some sort of keeper of the Celtics flame. He got himself blown out of here for being a complete a-hole. It's just the wrong guy, Maz. That's my only point.
What I find stunning now is that, and look, it's not all Celtics fans, okay, but at least a couple that we've heard from here, including Murray, is like, what, the last guy out the door is the biggest a-hole? Is that the deal? Like, is it that simple that the last guy... Rondo is such a bigger dink than Isaiah. It's not even close. It's really not even close.
That's a coin flip to me. It really is. And I know, look, I'm one of these people that I enjoyed IT. He was just wildly overrated. People overrated him far too much. And I think he's extremely delusional and lacks self-awareness. And that drives me nuts. It's probably my biggest pet peeve in human beings. And he continues to throw his weight around like he's some kind of superstar in this league. And again, traded for nothing. And now goes to the Lakers, and they're 0-2 since he got there. Coincidence? I think not.
See, Murray, I just think you've forgotten how much you despised Rondo. That's what I think. And I think Celtics...
I'm saying
you specifically.
Towards the end, I thought he was kind of overrated, but I never really despised him.
But I think people have forgotten how much of a pud Rondo was. And maybe it's because he was here on, you know, Sunday, and he was part of the Pierce thing, and there's this nostalgia element to it, all of that. Like, maybe that's it, because Isaiah was... If we're talking about likability and giving you an honest effort every night... It's not even comparable. Rondo took so many nights off when he was here, it wasn't even funny. Isaiah gave you pretty much everything he had all the time.
And don't downplay what Isaiah Thomas meant to you here. He was huge, huge. He's what helped make this a destination. It wasn't the drafting. It wasn't. It wasn't Brad Stevens. It was the fact that they started to win a little bit, started to sniff the playoffs, and then Al Horford looks at it and says... Okay, maybe you got something going on here. And that was all because of Isaiah. He did more for this team than Rondo did. They would have won that title either way. And without Isaiah, this rebuild, the signature round with the Celtics, I don't think it happens nearly as quickly. And so, like, you know, don't forget that. Now, what he's done since, I mean, I'm not going to defend him there. Cleveland. Just look at the teams. The last two teams Isaiah's gone to and what they had done before he started playing. When he started playing for the Cavaliers on December 21st, the Cavs had won 19 of their previous 21. Okay, they were 19-2. Then Isaiah Thomas started to play, and they went 8-13.
It's unbelievable.
Since the Cavs dealt him, they're 3-0.
Oh, yeah, shocker. The ball should run through me. I don't care who you are, LeBron. The ball should run through me.
I don't think he sounds like Mickey Mouse. Now, that's not fair. Now, the Lakers had won 8 of 10 and 12 of 16 prior to acquiring Isaiah. Now they have Isaiah, and they're 0-2.
I don't care how high you drafted Lonzo Ball. This is my team now.
Hello, Mr. Disney.
Hello, boys and girls.
That's just not right. Chris in the car. Line three, Jimmy Stewart. Chris in the car is up next with Felger and Maz. Go ahead, Chris.
Gentlemen, I'm glad you are worked up. I put it to you that LeBron James is the greatest genius in the history of any professional sport. Every year, he engineers some psychodrama, and he disrupts the entire league to his advantage.
It's true. It's true, Chris. I'll drop you right there. I mean, every year, it's something with that team. It's the coach. It's Kevin Love. It's Instagram posts. It's what I mean, every freaking year.
Right, and the callers get it right. And you know what? Every year, it's LeBron. It's LeBron. It will always be LeBron because he's such a diva and a drama queen, and the whole thing is about him. You know what's going to be amazing about LeBron at the end of the day? How many straight finals has he been to? Seven?
Seven, yeah.
Seven finals in a row. Is that right? Do I have that right? I mean, I say
it. Call it seven. Go.
Okay, but it sounds so stupid when I say it because it's been that many in a row. It's crazy. He's been to eight finals. It's maybe it'll be nine after this. And you know what? We're going to look at his career at the end of it. And you know what we're going to say?
Loser.
He underachieved. He underachieved. That's what we're going to do. We're going to look at it and say he should have won more. Given his ability, he should have won more. He shouldn't be 3-5 in the finals. He was with
he'll be Wilt.
Exactly. That's a good comparison, actually. That Miami team, 4 years, they were stacked. They were loaded. Okay? And they went 2-2 in the finals. 2-2. Like, to me, he shouldn't be embarrassed by that.
Let's grab Keith and Drake at Jimmy, if you could. Please, line four. Keith and Drake, you're up next to Felger and Maz. Hi.
How's it going, guys? Felger, I believe your quote was Rondo was a non-factor on the 08 championship team. I was just wondering.
Generally speaking.
33 minutes a game, 12 points and 8 assists. Playing in 80 games, I just wondered, is that a non-factor?
No. Exactly, those are nice regular season numbers. Why did they trade for Sam Cassell and Eddie House and play those guys in the playoffs then? What were the playoff numbers?
I'd like to know. Ask Jimmy Stewart. But
yes, I would like to know, too.
Maybe have a shooter on the floor at the end of the game, but I don't know.
Oh! You mean someone who could actually shoot as opposed to Rondo, the a-hole? Oh, I see. Interesting. No. But suddenly Rajon Rondo is the keeper of the Celtics flame and the defender of the green. This dink who, when it became his time to take the team, they got so sick of his bullcrap, they shipped him out of here for Jay Crowder and what? Please.
What does that have to do with the 08 team where he played almost 30 minutes a night in the playoffs?
It's the wrong guy.
Why can't you admit that Rondo is right in this situation? He's right. What has Isaiah done? He had a nice little 2.5-year run here and may have helped the program, but Rondo, he won a ring, Michael.
But Jimmy,
he won a championship ring. Okay, something Isaiah Thomas may never do in his career.
But Jimmy, wait a minute. So that's a reason to start a fight with the guy?
I would call that trash talking.
Okay, but the trash talking to me would have been okay. He got up in his face and he bumped him and like, you talk all you want. Kevin Garnett talked about, whose mother was it? Carmelo Anthony's mother or his wife or something?
About his wife and the Honey Nut Cheerios.
Yeah. I mean, like, fine. You know, no problem.
It's called physical defense. They should have more of it in the NBA.
Okay, I just thought, like, I thought he crossed the line with that crap. Like, he was challenging to a fight. And like, enough with that garbage already. And, I'm sorry, how many assists did he average? 8 assists that year? Garnett? Pierce and Allen shooting. If he couldn't average 8 assists, he sucked.
He was an important piece. Help those other pieces work together.
Those guys, that team had shooters. That's why he averaged 8 assists.
They were doing what they were going to do with him or without him. So he was a virtual non-factor, if you will. Any point guard, average point guard, could have gone in there. He just wasn't that important on that team, and that's why I love it. Like, this was the quote when and Isaiah Thomas was a total diva about this video thing. It's ridiculous. It's beyond ridiculous. So, like, I don't dispute that, but Rondo feels the one to do it. At the time, he said, what's he done? He's talking about Isaiah.
Nothing.
And when told that Isaiah went to a conference final, Rondo remarks, oh, that's what we celebrate around here? Well, what would you have done when it was your team, Rondo? You couldn't get him out of the first round. You couldn't even last the season because they got so sick of your bullcrap, they ship you out of town.
Great line.
Rondo's success was incumbent on 4 or 5 other guys above him on that roster. Very little to do with it. And for him to act like he went and won something here is a joke.
He did.
It's a joke.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.